Everybody, welcome to pre-service chat. Great to have you with us today, and I am pleased to introduce you Melissa Mass from One Up Society. And I know you recognize that name, but I'm going to ask Melissa if she can give us, this is an impossible ask, a 30-second sort of elevator description of One Up. We've heard of it, but what is One Up?
What is One Up? That's a great question.
Okay.
So, One Up, we recently changed to One Up. We've been the single parent resource for over 40 years.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
Big kind of institution in Victoria.
Yeah.
So what we do currently for our members, so we've got over 700 members right now.
Wow.
So that's 700 individual families that have at least one child under the age of 18.
Okay.
So that's a substantial portion.
No doubt.
So with them, we support them. We give free counseling.
Okay.
Free parenting classes.
Nice.
We give away free groceries. So we have a market day once a week that we stock completely. So we have dairy. We've got produce. We've got, I gave away, toiletries and back to school stuff that we kind of had kicking around just to make sure that everybody got a little bit of something.
Wow.
What else do? We have the Moms and Mentors program.
Okay.
So we match up mothers with mentors to help support them when they are, going through some hard times, need that mentor's ear to help guide them through everything. We also have our clothing room. So our clothing room is filled with donations from the community and from people who just want to give.
Yeah.
And so what we do is we offer free clothing to kids and their parents.
Okay.
They just have to come and book a time, fill a bag, and that's what they got to do.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay, let me just jump in here a little bit. So when we were talking the other day on the phone, you mentioned market days.
Yeah.
And I must admit, I was unaware. When is that? What day is that?
So it's every Wednesday. So we are running it out of the Fairfield Gonzalez Community Center.
Okay.
So in the Gary Oak Room, which is sandwiched into Sir James Douglas School.
Okay, yeah.
But yeah, so we, from 11 to 1 o'clock every Wednesday, we have all the produce out, and members can come and shop and just take whatever they want, as long as it will help their family.
Sure, sure.
Yeah.
Oh, that's really cool. Now, I just want to go, if you are needing more information or interested, I know there are people interested.
Excellent.
At our church, we just love to be a part of this, and we want to get into the backpacks and Christmas, serve the city in a minute. OneUp.org, what's the website?
So it's one-up.ca.
There you go. And yeah. I know Matt will get it on the screen for as well. And so if you any questions or wondering a little bit about it, yeah, we just encourage you to hit that up. Now, we just, you know, as a church, along with two other churches, partnered with you. And first of all, we want to say thank you for what you do in our community.
You're very welcome.
700 plus families, that is significant.
It is, yeah.
For over 40 years, President. That is outstanding. And we are so blessed to be able to partner with you. Just to remind everybody, 240 backpacks between the three churches. Yeah. Maybe just tell us a little bit about that and this those kinds of programs, and how do people discover this and become a part of it?
Well, discover in from the member side.
From the member side, sure. Yeah.
So from the member side, when you become a member, you get access to all of our activities. Yeah, we'll call them activities,
programs
all that
sure.
kind of stuff. So with that, you get a newsletter. So every month you get a newsletter of, you know, this is what's new and this is what we've added.
Cool.
Things like the backpack program, a registration rolled out in early July.
Okay.
So that filled up super, super fast.
Yeah. Well, it's been a new way to distribute them this year.
Exactly.
Was them coming to our facility here, which church, which has been just great, because to be able to meet them and just, you know, kind of eye to eye and just say, hey, we love you, and here's your backpack, and truthfully, we've received a lot of love.
Aww.
Right, because of being able to be a part of that. So thanks for letting us partner with that. Now, mentioned earlier that we also partner with you at Christmas time.
We do, yeah.
Yeah, tell us a little bit more about that.
So this is my first year into the Christmas season, so I'm also learning this.
Yeah.
So from what I understand, it's coming the next couple of weeks. We
approach
the donors.
You're going to be talking to Shiloh.
Exactly. And we approach the donors and we say, hey, we're going to be reaching out to our members. We're going to start getting these wish lists of what our members want for their families.
Yeah.
And then we start to kind of get to work and say, this is this family. These are the items they want.
Yeah.
And then you guys go out and you make these wonderful little boxes. And then we transfer them to
them
members.
Sure.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
This year, I think it's going to be a little bit different.
Okay.
So our center on Gorge Road, we did have some flooding in the end of last year, early this year. So we are no longer allowed in that building, which is where we had a huge amount of storage.
Okay.
Now we have, I don't want to say none, but pretty
close to no storage. Okay.
So we're looking at different ways. How can we do this and do it as well as we can with the space that we have?
Yep.
So last year we did 70 of these hampers.
Yep.
So I think this year we're looking at half of that.
Okay.
Which is definitely something we are not happy about.
All right.
Would love to help more people. Space-wise, we just don't have the space.
Well, you weren't, I didn't know about that.
Mm.
And I'm not going out on a limb. We as a church would love to help you with that.
Okay.
If there is some way. We have a big facility here. If there is some way that we can help you in that, and I don't know what all your logistics are and how all of that works, but please, I'd hate to see it limited just because of storage. And if there's a way we can help, Melissa, that'd be fantastic.
Yeah, I will. Yeah. I'm going to look into it because I know we're looking at closing our clothing room so that we can house these boxes in December. So we're definitely looking that it's going to be shifting things around.
Okay.
The other idea we had is to try to support people more monetarily, so it's not taking up that space as well. So that's the other option.
Okay, let's stay in communication, as I'm sure we will. I know you're going to be reaching out to Shiloh. You've heard a little bit of the need that they have. If there are some good ideas out there, please reach out to us at office@sandwichbaptist.org. Melissa, thanks so much for being here. Excited about the possibility of helping you out at Christmas. We know we will help you in some way.
You will.
With storage and all. Everybody, thanks for joining us. And if you've got anything for us, please reach out. Take care.
welcome to your announcements. We've got some big news for you this week. Next Sunday, September the 11th, is Kickoff Sunday.
Yeah, we're going to be celebrating a new ministry year, talking all about the new programs and events and everything that's going to be happening this ministry year, and want to invite you to partner with us in what's going on.
Yeah, it's going to be awesome. And there's going to be donuts. So you're not going to want to miss out.
Yeah, so come on out to either one of our in-person services and celebrate with us.
Yeah, we'll see you there. Kickoff Sunday.
That whisper, it was, there's going to be donuts next week. So just make sure you put that in your calendar. Yeah, okay, some clapping? Yeah. Some other donuts in the fan. I mean, some other donut fans in the room. Nice. Well, I am so excited to be here. Jake and I had a great week. We were off at Gardam Lake Bible Camp on the mainland leading worship for a youth conference. And we had a great time, but it was a lot of energy, a lot of work. And thanks so much to those of you who prayed for us, especially regarding the ferry. I think Lindsay mentioned just as we were kind of running off to the other campus to lead worship that we hadn't been able to get a ferry reservation, and we were kind of like just really crossing our fingers hoping that we'd be able to get on one quickly. And just as we were heading to the other campus, I was like, I'm just going to check the reservations. I know they were all sold out. And there just happened to be one on the 1 o'clock, which is what we were looking for. And so God was just really faithful in that way. And it was really cool to just see a bunch of youth just really eager to worship God, to lean into his presence, and to just celebrate together. And so excited for that. God was doing some awesome stuff. And it's good to be here where God is continuing to do some awesome stuff. So I'm going to invite you to stand. We're going to begin to worship, and we're grateful to be doing so on the traditional territories of the Wasanish and Lekwungen people. This is just a call to worship, an invitation based on Psalm 66. And so it goes like this. Shout out to God, all the earth. Erupt with joy to the one true God. Sing of the glory due his name. Offer him the most magnificent praises. Say to God, all you have done is wondrous. The entire earth will bow down to worship you and will sing glory songs to you. They will sing praise to your name. Yes, come and witness the true God's endless works, his miraculous deeds done on behalf of humanity. Praise the one who gives us life and keeps us safe, who does not allow us to stumble in the darkness. Everyone, let's bless our God. Let praise-filled voices be heard near and far. So we're going to start off, we're going to sing great things. Come, let us worship our King. Let us bow at his feet. He has done great things. So let's sing. Stop. Guys, we were just at youth camp, and those guys really know how to clap, so we have some expectations. So we want to hear you guys giving us some celebratory claps. Are you guys ready? Do you need a practice?
If you want to jump a little bit and stuff, too, we can do
the
that.
The front
as
is
well.
Open yeah. for mosh pits, yeah. right? Okay, let's give this one more try. You guys ready? Okay, here we go. Much better.
Come, let us worship our King. Come, let us bow at his feet. He has done great things. See what our Savior has done. See how his love overcomes. He has done great things. He has done great things. Oh, hero of heaven, you conquered the grave. You free every captive and break every chain. Oh, God, you have done great things. our Savior, your name lifted high, oh God. You have done great things. And you've been faithful through every storm. And you'll be faithful forevermore. You have done great things. And I know. And I know you will do it. For your promise is yes and amen. You will do great things. God, you do great things. Oh, hero of heaven, you conquer the grave. You free every captive and break every chain. Oh, God, you have done great.
Jesus, you alone.
stars in the heavens. You set the world into motion. Oh, Jesus, you. Salvation, you broke the curse for our freedom. Oh, Jesus, you alone. You rose from death with the morning. You'll come again in your glory. I bow my life to exalt thee, Jesus, you alone. Jesus, you
darkness we were waiting. In the darkness we were waiting, without hope and without light, till from heaven you came running. There was mercy in your eyes to fulfill the law and prophets. To a virgin came the word, from a throne of endless glory to a creator.
We do praise you. We thank you just for the story of who you are and what you've done. That in the darkness when we were waiting, you showed up with hope and with light. That you revealed your kingdom, that you desire to reconcile the lost and redeem all of creation, and that you went to the cross because of it, but that the cross didn't hold you down. And neither did the grave. You rose to life again. And so, God,
Yeah, you deserve all of the praise that we have to give, all of the worship that we could share with you and bestow upon you. So God, we love you, we worship you, we declare you holy and worthy, and we praise you this morning. We pray this in your name. Amen.
Awesome.
Well, from behind the TV, I declare that the children may now be released to the back. They will find Shyla there, and she will take them to their kids' program.
Maybe now is a good time to let you guys know that we are currently looking for more children's ministry volunteers. But, just before Steve gets up, we've been fixing our eyes on Jesus this morning. We've been worshiping him, our risen Savior. And so our scripture reading today is the vision of the risen Jesus that we read in Revelation. And if you've been attending SBC for the last year or so, you've probably heard this vision, John's vision of Jesus before, because it's one of those passages of scripture that I think we need to return to over and over again and remind ourselves of who this Jesus is, the one that we continually worship, the one that we gather on Sunday to fix our eyes upon, the one that we are serving every day of our lives. So let me read this vision of Jesus from Revelation. I, John, your brother and companion in the suffering and kingdom and patient endurance that are ours in Jesus, was on the island of Patmos because of the word of God and the testimony of Jesus. On the Lord's day, I was in the Spirit, and I heard behind me a loud voice like a trumpet, which said, "Write on a scroll what you see and send it to the seven churches, to Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamum, Thyatira, Sardis, Philadelphia, and Laodicea." I turned around to see the voice that was speaking to me. And when I turned, I saw seven golden lampstands. And among the lampstands was someone like a son of man, dressed in a robe reaching down to his feet and with a golden sash around his chest. The hair on his head was white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were like blazing fire. His feet were like bronze glowing in a furnace, and his voice was like the sound of rushing waters. In his right hand, he held seven stars, and coming out of his mouth was a sharp, double-edged sword. His face was like the sun, shining in all its brilliance. When I saw him, I fell at his feet as though dead. And then he placed his right hand on me and said, "Do not be afraid. I am the first and the last. I am the living one. I was dead, and now look, I am alive forever and ever. And I hold the keys of death and Hades. Write therefore what you have seen, what is now and what will take place later, the mystery of the seven stars that you saw in my right hand and of the seven gold lampstands that is this. The seven stars are the angels of the seven churches, and the seven lampstands are the seven churches."
Good morning, everyone. Good to be back with you this morning. Are we moving? Is this better? Am I straighter now? Okay. Good morning, whether you're in the room or watching online. I hope you've had a good summer this summer. We had some holidays. This is our first Sunday back with you, and our holidays weren't what we planned. In the middle of them, when we got to Calgary, both my wife and I got COVID. So 2.5 years of dodging that bullet, and we got it. So we came home and adjusted our plans, but nevertheless, we did have a good holiday. And I was here last Saturday before we went over to Vancouver to see my son and his girlfriend, and I was just blown away. I came in here on Saturday, and out in the parking lot lined up were all these backpacks for pack to school, and single parents and their children were coming and getting these backpacks. And then throughout this week at the office, parents have been coming in to pick up backpacks for their kids. And do you know, church, you have blessed 275 families this, it's so good. So good. It was such a thrill to see on Saturday Shyla and her volunteer team, and a big shout out to them and to you as a church for blessing 1UP Single Parent Resource Society and the parents they serve and the kids. So thank you, church, for doing that. So, so good for so many families and kids. And just before we jump into what I have for us this morning, I don't know if we have a slide on, is the next slide a financial update? It is there. Awesome. Thank you, Shyla, for doing that. Just so you know where we are as a church, as of the end of July, we don't have August figures in yet. Our fiscal year runs September to August, but you can see at the end of July, our total income was $880,000, and our total expenses $915,000, meaning we had a shortfall of $35,000. But earlier in the year, we got some wage subsidy from the government, so that was $7,000. So our net shortfall at the end of July was $27,622.03. And you may say, well, that's quite a shortfall. Not really, because if you remember, if you were here in May, our shortfall was over $100,000. So thank you, church, for stewarding and listening to God's call to steward your resources well. And thank you to the staff team and the finance team for doing such a great job that right now, at the end of July, we're $27,000 in a deficit situation rather than over $100,000. So thank you to everyone for that. Let's continue to pray for the finances of the church. Well, if you were here in July, you know that I started a series called The Big E on the Eye Chart just before I went on holidays. And the big idea is, what do you need to be focusing on? What do I need to be focusing on? As I wrap up my ministry here at Saanich, I have 4 Sundays left. I really want to really focus in on what I think we as Christ followers and you as a church need to be focusing on as you move into the future. And so at the end of July, we took 2 Sundays to look at who is God the Father. And we saw through the story of the prodigal son that God the Father is a loving, gracious Father who accepts you and runs to greet you. Today we're going to look at who is Jesus. Then we're going to look at what is the gospel. And then we're going to look at how should we then live. It's so important that we focus on those things, because we can lose sight of them. But we need to go back to what's really important: knowing who God is, knowing who Jesus is, knowing what the gospel is, and knowing how he's called us to live. So today we're going to look at who is Jesus. And in Mark chapter 8, Jesus asked his disciples this question: who do people say I am? And the disciples replied, some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others, one of the prophets. Notice the different answers. Some say John the Baptist. Some say Elijah. Some say a prophet. Different answers because Jesus had different views. People had different views of Jesus. And what was true back then is also true today. People today have different opinions and views about who Jesus is. Some people see Jesus as a wise teacher, a prophet, a miracle worker, a holy man. Others view Jesus as a great man to be respected, but nothing more. And then we have these depictions of Jesus. You've seen these. We have Swedish Jesus. Okay, Jesus doesn't look anything like that. Or he didn't look anything like that when he walked. He wasn't blonde-haired, blue-eyed, and pale-skinned to start with. Then we have what I call ATM Jesus, who wants to make you rich. You know, the prosperity gospel. And then we have this really weird one. It's this heart-beating Jesus. It's kind of like he's on like an artificial heart or something there, and it's outside his chest. That's just a really weird depiction. And then you have left-wing Jesus who wouldn't hurt a fly, and right-wing Jesus who would. If someone asked you today, who is Jesus? How would you answer that question? In the last book of the Bible, we find a powerful description of who Jesus is in the present. Christina read it for us. It is my favorite depiction of Jesus in the Bible. And I've shared it with you before, but I want to share it with you again as this sermon on who is Jesus. I just want you to see this, and I want you to grasp this because I think it's so important. But before we look at this incredible vision, here's a little important background. John, the writer of the book of Revelation, was a follower of Jesus. And because of that, he refused to worship the emperor Domitian. For John, there was only one who commanded his worship and his allegiance, and that was the risen, glorified Jesus. So John was arrested. He was sent to the island of Patmos, and the island of Patmos is 16 kilometers off the coast of modern-day Turkey. It was an island to which criminals and enemy of the state was sent to spend the rest of their lives. And so John's on this island. And while John's on the island of Patmos, other Christ followers are being persecuted. They're being harassed. They're losing their jobs. They're losing their homes. Some are even being martyred. John and the Christ followers of his day needed hope. And so God gave John a powerful vision of who Jesus is in the present. Now, just a reminder, the book of Revelation is apocalyptic literature. And apocalyptic literature uses fantastic imagery, as we're about to see. So here's the setting. Revelation 1, verse 10. On the Lord's day, I was in the Spirit, and I heard behind me a loud voice like a trumpet, which said, write on a scroll what you see and send it to the seven churches, to Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamum, Thyatira, Sardis, Philadelphia, and Laodicea. I turned around to see the voice that was speaking to me. John is worshiping in the power of the Holy Spirit one Sunday, and he heard a voice as clear and as resounding as a trumpet. The voice was behind him. So John did what any of us would do. He turned around to see who was speaking. And what he saw changed him. And it's been my prayer this week that this vision of Jesus will change each of us as well. Here's what John saw. Chris read it for us, but I want to read it again. Verse 12, Revelation 1. I turned around to see the voice that was speaking to me. And when I turned, I saw seven golden lampstands. And among the lampstands was someone like a son of man, dressed in a robe reaching down to his feet, and with a golden sash around his chest. His head and hair were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were like blazing fire. His feet were like bronze glowing in a furnace. His voice was like the sound of rushing waters. In his right hand he held the seven stars, and out of his mouth came a sharp double-edged sword. His face was like the sun shining in all its brilliance. When John turned around, he saw seven golden lampstands. And in verse 20 of chapter 1, we read that the seven lampstands are the seven churches that John writes to in Revelation chapter 2 and chapter 3. And it says, among the lampstands was someone. The lampstands are the churches. And among the churches was someone. Someone like a son of man. John was referring here to a figure in the great vision that God gave the prophet Daniel hundreds of years before. The vision is recorded in Daniel chapter 7 in the Old Testament. And in that vision, the phrase, "one like a son of man," is referring to a central figure in all of history. A pre-existent heavenly being whose kingdom cannot be destroyed, whose dominion will not pass away, who has all authority, glory, and power, and who will one day be worshipped by all. And who is this one like a son of man? It's Jesus. In fact, the primary title Jesus used of himself in the Gospels was Son of Man. Jesus was the commanding, glorious figure that John saw. He was right there in the middle of the lampstands, in the middle of the churches. Jesus was present and active in the middle of his churches. And what was true back then is true today. Jesus is still active in the middle of his churches. As we gather together each Sunday, we don't worship a memory. We worship the risen Jesus who is present and active amongst us. Let me encourage you to always remember that. When you gather together as a body on Sundays to worship Jesus, you are not worshiping a memory. You are not worshiping something in the past. You are worshiping the risen Jesus who is here right now, present and active among you. The next thing that caught John's attention was the way Jesus was dressed. And more often than not, right? One of the first things that catch our attention when we see someone is how they're dressed. And it says he was dressed in a robe reaching down to his feet. The robe John saw on Jesus was the robe of a priest, similar to the robe Moses gave to Aaron. In the Old Testament, a priest was a mediator, someone who brought God to the people and the people to God. And here John was being reminded that Jesus is the great high priest, the greatest mediator of all. The one who through his birth and life and death and resurrection and ascension bridged the infinite chasm between God and humanity. And notice something about this picture. Jesus had a golden sash around his chest. When a sash was worn around your waist back then, you were still working. But when a sash was worn across your chest, you were resting. Your work was done. It was complete. John was being shown that the high priestly work of Jesus was finished. All that needed to be done for humanity to have a restored relationship with God, for us to live an abundant life in God's presence here and now, and then to spend eternity with Jesus, has been accomplished. And I hope you know the reality of that in your life. I hope you know the reality of having a restored relationship with God. I hope you know the reality of the abundant, joy-filled life that can come when you live in the presence of Jesus day by day. And I hope you have hope for the future that one day you will spend eternity with Him. I hope you know that. I hope you know to the depths of your being the reality of Christ's work for us. And then he said his head and hair were like wool as white as snow. These words were used to describe the Ancient of Days in the book of Daniel again. Daniel chapter 7 verse 9, it says this, "As I looked, thrones were set in place, and the Ancient of Days took his seat. His clothing was as white as snow. The hair of his head was white like wool." Ancient of Days is a name given to God in the book of Daniel. The word ancient indicates God existed before time. The white clothing and hair symbolize God the Father's purity and sinlessness. And in this vision that John had, Jesus was just like the Ancient of Days, meaning he existed before time. Of course, John told us that in the beginning of his gospel. He says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word there, the literal word, Word, means Jesus. In the beginning was Jesus, and Jesus was with God, and Jesus was God. Jesus was also pure and sinless. The Gospels tell us that, just like God the Father. Jesus shares the very character and being of God the Father. Do you see it? Jesus is not a mystic. He's not a sage or a teacher or a miracle worker or a great man. John's telling us here that Jesus is God. And it says his eyes were like a blazing fire. In the Bible, fire is often used for an image of that which purifies. And here John understands that the gaze of Jesus was a purifying gaze. A gaze that can look into the deepest places of our souls and burn away that which is stopping us from living the life Jesus has for us. And it says his feet were like bronze glowing in a furnace. The first century readers, when they heard that or read that, they would have immediately thought of the dream that King Nebuchadnezzar had and that the prophet Daniel interpreted. In that dream, there was this incredible statue, and all the human kingdoms in the ancient world were represented by the statue. It was constructed of precious, strong metals, but it was set on a base that was flawed. The feet of the statue were a mixture of iron and clay, and iron and clay do not make a good bond. The statue that represented the ancient kingdoms was set on a weak foundation. It was doomed to collapse. The dream King Nebuchadnezzar had tells us that the kingdoms and the powers of this world, no matter how awe-inspiring, no matter how impressive and powerful, are set on a base that is flawed, and they will one day collapse. Now notice, in John's vision of Jesus, the risen, glorified Jesus, notice, had feet of clay, feet of bronze, sorry. Bronze was the strongest metal of the day. In other words, Christ's kingdom is set on a strong, firm, unshakable foundation that will never collapse. While other kingdoms will come and go, his kingdom is an everlasting kingdom that will never, ever pass away. As Christ followers, we're often tempted to bow before the dazzling empires and rulers of our day. But listen, they, like all before them, will be swept away. So let's place our trust in Jesus. And let's bow only to him. And let's seek first his kingdom. And those words are going to mean a lot in coming days. In the United States, we see the rise of Christian nationalism. We're starting to see that here in Canada now. Don't bow to that kingdom. It is a faulty kingdom. Bow to the kingdom of Jesus. Let's bow only to him, and let's seek first only his kingdom. His kingdom will never, ever fail. And then it says his voice was like the rush of sounding waters. When Jesus speaks, his voice is like the sound of water cascading over rocks. You've heard that. It's thunderous, it's mighty, it's powerful. And that's what his voice is like. And that should cause his voice to drown out all other voices. In John's day, voices were calling Christ followers to bow to Caesar as Lord, and yet the call of Christ followers was to listen to Christ's voice above all other voices and not to listen to the voice of culture, but rather to listen to the voice of Jesus and bow only to him. And the call is the same for us today. Today we need to listen to Christ's voice above all other voices that are calling for our attention. And folks, there are lots of voices calling for our attention. And one of the concerns I have about Christians in Canada today is we are often listening to the voices of culture over and above the voice of Jesus. And can I encourage you to listen to his voice first? In order to do that, you need to get away from all the other voices. And you need to sit with him and his word. And you need to let him speak to you. Listen to his voice above all other voices. And then it says, in his right hand where he held seven stars. Most scholars feel there's a dual meaning here. In verse 20, the seven stars are the angels of the seven churches. That's one meaning, but there's another. The seven stars represented here are also the seven known planets in the first century. And in the first century, people thought their lives were controlled by these seven known planets. And so they regularly consulted astrology tables. And knowing where the people were at, the Roman emperors, being very smart politicians, asserted their supposed cosmic rule by surrounding their thrones with stars and planets. Also in Greek mythology, there was a goddess who held the seven stars, and the goddess said, "I am the beginning and the end." And here John sees what is actually true. He says the stars, the Romans, the Greek gods, they don't control life. Jesus did, and I will say to you today, he still does. Jesus is the one holding the stars, not a Greek goddess. The planets do not control anyone. Jesus is the one who controls all things. The stars do not run life. Jesus does. Jesus is Lord of the cosmos. He's the one who should guide our lives. And then it says, out of his mouth came a sharp, double-edged sword. And John used here the metaphor of a sword to demonstrate what takes place when Christ speaks. His words of truth can go right into your soul, convicting you, cutting you loose, and setting you free. And then it says, he ends this way, he says, his face was like the sun shining in all its brilliance. Can't you feel John reaching for some way to convey the unconveyable? John was attempting to describe the glory of Jesus, and he says, it's like the sun shining in all its brilliance. It's awe-inspiring, but you can't look at it. What an incredible vision of Jesus. And look at how John responded in verse 17. When I saw him, I fell at his feet as though dead. When John encountered the glory of the living Lord, it knocked him off his feet. And let me say this today. If God suddenly pulled back the curtain for us, and we got a glimpse like John did of the magnificent, awe-inspiring reality of who Jesus is in the presence, every single one of us would fall to our feet, fall to our face. And then this. Look at verse 17. This is what happened. Then he placed his right hand on me and said, "Do not be afraid. I am the first and the last. I am the living one. I was dead, and behold, I'm alive forever and ever. I hold the keys of death and Hades." Look at what's going on here. Christ's right hand, the one that holds the seven stars, reached out and touched John. Isn't that awesome? Jesus, the majestic one, the holy one, the glorified one, is not aloof. He reached out and he touched John, and I believe he wants to reach out and touch every single one of us. And then he said, John, don't be afraid. John, don't be afraid. I am the first and the last, the living one. I was dead, and see, I'm alive, John. I'm alive forevermore. And John, remember, death and Hades, the ultimate enemy of humankind. John, you can stop being afraid of them because I have won. I have the keys. I stripped death and hell of its power. John, I have the keys. On the cross, Jesus took all the sin of humankind, past, present, future, and on the cross, he let death take him captive. And people said, he's finished, he's done, it's over, he's history. But then Jesus burst out of the prison of death and carried away the prison keys. He's got the keys. Listen, today if fear is holding you captive, Jesus is saying to you, you can stop being afraid because I have the keys. I am the first and the last, the living one. I was dead, but look, I'm alive forever and ever, and I hold the keys to death and Hades. And that's good news. If you were to ask John, who is Jesus in the present? John would answer you, he's the great high priest, the one who bridged the chasm between God and humanity, whose voice should be heard above all other voices. He's the one whose words of truth can go deep into your souls, setting you free from that which entangles and binds you. He's the pure and sinless one who has always existed, whose kingdom is set on a firm, strong, unshakable foundation that will never collapse. The one who burst out of the prison of death and carried away the prison keys, whose glory is like the sun shining in all its overwhelming brilliance. And listen, know this, this commanding, redeeming, glorious figure whose dominion will not pass away, who has all authority, glory, and power, and will one day be worshiped by all, is right here in the middle of us behind a very thin veil. May we all know that reality, and may it cause us to bow and worship and surrender. The response to the vision is to worship him. We're going to do that by taking communion. And the bread and the cup are symbols. Symbols of a broken body and shed blood. But listen, they're not just symbols of a past event. They're symbols also of a present reality and a future hope. Jesus, our great high priest, hung on a cross, and when he hung on a cross, he bridged the chasm so that today each of us can have a restored relationship with God. Each of us can live an abundant life in God's presence. And then we have this amazing future hope of eternity with him. So as we take the elements, let's remember, As you take the cup, as you take the bread today, remember that the redeeming, glorious figure whose dominion will not pass away, who has all authority, glory, and power, who will one day be worshiped by all, is right here, right now, in the middle of you as you take communion. May you bow, may you worship, may you surrender as you do that. I'm going to pray, and then I'll give you communion instructions, and Christina will come up after and finish communion. Let's pray together. Father, what an amazing, amazing vision of Jesus as he is now in the present. I pray that all of us will know it. And that right now, you're in the midst of us, right here, right now, today, behind a very thin veil. So as we take the bread and the cup, may we worship you. May we bow to you. May we be in awe of you. May we surrender to you. In Jesus' name, amen. So here's what's going to happen. We have three stations, one at the front, one at each of the back corners. What we're going to ask you to do when you're ready is to get up, go to one of the stations. You only need to go to one. And take the bread that will be handed to you, take a cup, and then come back to your seat and have a seat. And then we will take the bread and the cup together. So when you're ready, go to one of the stations. Thank you.
Corinthians, we read that the Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Let's take the bread together. In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me." Let's take the cup together. Father God, we thank you for the gift of your Son. We thank you that as we have taken this bread, as we've eaten the bread and we've drank this little cup of juice, we are proclaiming his death, the death that brought victory, the death that put death and sin to death. We thank you that that's not where the story ended. That Jesus is alive. That we come and worship our living Savior. That we can read this vision of Jesus, knowing that is who he is right now, today. Remind us of that truth this week. Remind us of your power, of your goodness. Thank you for the life that we have because of Jesus' sacrifice on the cross. Pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
I invite you to stand as we close by finishing the song, Holy, Holy, Holy. And as we do so, we will I will invite the ushers to come forward and take up our offering. If you don't have cash on you or anything to drop in the plate, that's totally fine. We have a giving station at the back that you can hit up for any digital needs. But let's sing this song. Let's declare, Holy, Holy, Holy. Just like the angels and the saints and the creatures that surround the throne of God in heaven, they repeat that phrase, holy, holy, holy. So let's join in with them and worship our King.
Holy, 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 all the saints adore thee, casting down their gold. Oh!
this last verse. Holy, holy.
Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, all thy works shall praise thy name in earth and sky and sea.
Joining us today, and we want this to be a space where we can come to our living God, our living Savior. And so if you are in need of prayer today, first of all, I invite you to maybe turn to the person next to you and just spend some time in prayer. We're also going to have people up here who would love to pray for you. If you are new to SBC, or maybe you're not new, you just haven't been attending for a while, we would love to help you get more connected. There's lots of ways to do that. One of them is filling out a Connect card in the seat in front of you. Also, next week is our kickoff Sunday, so it's the new ministry year, kicking off ministry, so we invite you to come back next Sunday to hear all about what is happening at SBC this coming year. One last announcement as well before I close. If you are a parent of youth, so that's students in grade 6 to 12, we're going to be having a parent info meeting right after this, so you can head up the stairs to the big room upstairs, and we'll be chatting all about what's happening in youth this year. I think that's everything. So let me close with this benediction from Revelation chapter 1. To him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by his blood and has made us to be a kingdom and priests to serve his God and Father, to him be glory and power forever and ever. Amen. Have a wonderful week.